This is Justice Radio, a weekly show on WMPG with your host, Linda Small. I'm a project coordinator with the Maine Prisoner Advocacy Coalition and executive director of Reentry Sisters, an organization that specializes in helping women and girls return home from prison. And today we are talking with Jan Collins, the assistant director of the Maine Prisoner Advocacy Coalition, and she advocates for humane prisons through her legislative work and educating the public about what actually happens when people are incarcerated. So hello, Jan. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Linda. Great to be here.
Thank you. So we'll begin with an introduction, Jan. Can you please tell our listeners about your background and what brought you to this social justice work?
Thank you. I'd be glad to. I am the daughter of someone who is incarcerated. I kept that a secret for as long as I could. And what changed about that was my son's incarceration. My son is currently incarcerated at Maine State Prison. For most of my life, I was not an advocate. I was a high school science teacher.
Wow, that's quite a transition. And, you know, it speaks to the dedication you have. You know, most people don't really know anything about what's happening with justice in Maine or what that looks like. So can you give us a little bit of background about what the justice landscape is in Maine for someone who has lived experience or has a family member that has been formerly or currently incarcerated?
Thanks, Linda. Just a little background. I was like everyone else for most of my life, thinking that if you put someone in prison, that was a good thing because then they would get the help they needed and they would come out a much better person. It took real life experience for me to open my eyes and see what actually happens in a system that is primarily oriented towards punishment and not towards actually reforming people. So just a little background on what's going on in Maine right now. We have a crisis in the courts. Maine is unique across the country because we don't have a defense group that takes care of all defense for indigent people in the state. We have had this, what's called a lawyer for the day process, in which when you go to court, there's a lawyer that just shows up on that day. They talk to you. They may convince you to do a plea bargain or not. They may advocate that you be taken on by someone else with more experience, or they may not. But in general, what we find is that the people who are taking cases are not trained as defense attorneys. And as a result, the kind of defense you get will be willy-nilly dependent on who you get on that day. That's opposed to what other states do, and that is they train defense attorneys to do defense, and you move up from the most basic cases to the more difficult cases over time, and you're mentored along the way so that when you're an indigent person, a person who does not have enough money to hire their own attorney, then you still get the very best representation that you could possibly get. So in Maine, we have a huge court case going on because people do not have access to attorneys. There are people who are staying months in jail, awaiting trial, and never having the opportunity to speak with an attorney. That's bad in all kinds of ways, one of which is you don't get to look at the evidence while it's still warm. You don't get to pursue your own defense in a way that makes sense in terms of making sure that your recollections are recorded and looked at. So it also gives the prosecution a huge jump on their case. So as a result, the state of Maine is breaking the Sixth Amendment of the Constitution, which guarantees a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury, and that you have assistance of counsel for your defense. That is leading to all kinds of problems. The other problem is the courts are backed up sometimes in some counties years, so that people are waiting very long times to go to court. They also, as a result, are serving time in jail whilst still under our constitution innocent. Innocent until proven guilty means you have to be convicted by a court of law. So you can spend literally years in jail without ever being convicted of a crime. And
that sounds criminal in and of itself, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. So that's a big problem, and we're hoping that the legislature will address that this session. The courts are still working on it. Twice the judge has thrown it back and said this isn't sufficient to actually address the problem. And the legislature has, for several sessions, declined to provide the funds necessary for constitutionally sound indigent defense system.
Wow, that is a horrible situation for people in the state of Maine to be in. First of all, you know, when we talk about indigent defense, the vast majority of people go through the system are at the poverty level to begin with. So we know that we're talking about the majority of people when we talk about these particular concerns. And the other extraordinary point is the fact that we have 15 jails in the state of Maine. And to think that the vast majority of people sitting in jail aren't convicted of anything, are innocent. And while you're waiting for your attorney or court date, you know, well, guess what? You lose your job, you lose your housing. Sometimes you lose your children, you lose your family. And that doesn't sound like justice to me. So it sounds like we have a lot of work to do in this state. So, Jan, given that particular situation and the fact that you work with legislation through Maine Prisoner Advocacy Coalition, what do you see are the main things that we should be focusing on as citizens here in this state for legislation?
There's a lot to focus on. Maine is not doing well in lots of things. But in this session, it will be really important to make sure that indigent legal defense is adequately funded. We know that even when people do get attorneys in Maine, over 93%, somewhere between 93 and 95% of the people who are in that position are so exasperated with the system and the long waits they have for justice that they often take plea deals. Almost 95% take plea deals, and only about 5% actually go to court. And again, the Constitution guarantees that you have your day in court. But for those people who have waited for months, lost their jobs, lost their homes, probably lost their car and their transportation, and maybe have lost their medical care as well, waiting just isn't an option. And they'll often plea out, even if they're innocent, to a lesser charge in hopes that they can at least get out of jail. So if you have an opportunity to advocate for better funding for indigent legal services, that would be a high priority for all of us. Other areas that are of concern in Maine is we are the only state in the nation that not only does not have a system of parole, but also does not have a way, anyway, to earn time off your sentence once you've been incarcerated. Since we did away with parole in 1976, sentences have been on average 20% longer than they were when we had parole.
Oh, wow. So
we have longer sentences. We have a very aging population in our prisons. People who have long ago aged out of crime are still being held in our prisons. We have people who are geriatric. We have people who are in hospice care. We have people who need assistance with their daily living tasks and in no way could commit a crime if they were released, but we continue to hold them in our prisons. And in addition to that, there is no reward for actually rehabilitating yourself. So if you go get up every day and you do your very best to become a better person, take courses, educate yourself, do yoga, become a peer mentor to others in the prison system, that will not earn you a single day off your sentence. So there's no rewards for good behavior, which is probably the fundamental way that you encourage people to rehabilitate themselves.
Yeah. Wow. That paints a pretty grim picture, but it's also, you know, the reality that we're facing today. I guess a couple of things that stood out to me was if you're in jail and, you know, your life is falling apart, and you haven't been convicted of anything, and you sign a plea deal, is to think about the consequences of that long term for the rest of your life. Now you have a criminal conviction history. And that blocks you from so many things in this particular state. Landlords don't want to rent to you. People don't want to hire you. Sometimes it impacts whether you can get state aid and certain other funding opportunities if you're indigent, which you certainly would be coming out of jail. And so the other piece that struck me really is that this aging population and the costs, which I'll ask you about, the cost of actually housing an individual in our state every year, and could we spend that money in a better way? So one of the other things we'll get back to you right after this break for you to think about, Jan, is the cost of what's happening here of incarcerating indigent people, aging people, people who have been rehabilitated, people who have spent decades in prison, and it serves no purpose for them to continue to serving any more time. So you are listening to Justice Radio with your host, Linda Small. And today we are talking with Jan Collins of Maine Prisoner Advocacy Coalition about how legislation works for criminal legal reform to improve the lives of Maine's incarcerated people and their families. So, Jan, we were just talking about some of the issues with the current justice system here in the state in terms of we don't fund indigent legal defense, which incorporates about 95% of the people who go through the system. We have aging people in prison. We have people who are ill, and we have no pathways for those who have rehabilitated and changed their life around to get out of prison and to become productive citizens and help themselves and their family and pay their fair share of taxes. So what is that costing us as a people, not only in money, but in general as a society here in the state of Maine?
So we can talk about the cost of keeping someone incarcerated as an individual, which is somewhere around $78,000 per year per person. If, however, you are ill and aging in prison, it can cost five, six times more than that. So it can cost $400,000 a year to keep that person alive and in prison. If we're talking about youth who are incarcerated at Long Creek, it costs, on average, about $500,000 a year per person.
Wow.
And there's lots of arguments about how that could be better used in the community to provide services that keep kids out of prison or jail. But that is only the very top of the cost, because as someone who was a daughter of someone who was incarcerated, I know that the costs are much bigger than that. We know that in my case in particular, my father was the sole breadwinner of a family. And when he left, that meant we were without income. We lost our home. We became homeless. And it has other repercussions, not only because the state has to step in when that happens and provide food, medical care, et cetera, for the family, but also because there are other consequences to the children of people who are incarcerated. We know that children take the incarceration of a parent as another stressor in their lives. They are much more likely to become depressed. They are much more likely to have learning disabilities, have difficulty in school, have trouble with their emotions. And all of those things have costs, not only financial costs, but costs to our community, to the family itself, and to our society. So we need to really consider all of the costs of keeping someone incarcerated, not just the cost of keeping someone behind bars.
Yeah, that's an extraordinary way to look at it, this generational impact that most people aren't considering. You know, they'll just see somebody on the news and they'll say, yes, you know, you should be isolated from society. But there's so much more to it than that, right? When a person goes to prison, the whole family goes to prison, as your story, right, clearly it demonstrates. And so, you know, what, you know, I think I read somewhere there's as many as 20,000 mean children at any given time with an incarcerated parent, which is an extraordinary number, meaning you can't go into a classroom probably in the state of Maine without having at least one child impacted by this system. So it's about time we have a wake-up call here in the state. And you've done an excellent job of outlining some of the pieces of legislation that we'd like people to advocate for. And there's just so much information out there. Can we break it down into maybe some simple action steps that people could take to get involved and become informed citizens?
So there will be lots of bills that will address different parts of this issue. In the upcoming legislature, there will be a parole bill, which is a way of encouraging people to actually go through rehabilitation and become a really productive member of their community and this society. That will be in this session. There will be another bill that's similar that will address, in case parole doesn't make it to the governor's desk, and in case the governor doesn't sign parole. There's a second bill, which is addressing people who have committed their crime below the age of 26 and allowing them to get supervised community confinement after serving 15 years. And that is based on what we know about brain development. We know that all of us are a little bit slower at brain development than we had thought in the past. We have this arbitrary number, 18, of making somebody adult. But we know that the brain doesn't fully develop until after age 26. And the most important parts of the brains, of the brain rather, the part that makes good decisions is the part that develops last, sadly. True. So we think that that should be taken into consideration. We don't have prison for children under age 11. And we don't think that someone who has not had full brain development should be held accountable in the same way that someone who is older would be. So that bill addresses brain development in particular. And another thing that we really think is important is ensuring that when someone is released from prison or jail, that they actually have the skills necessary to be successful in the community. That's what community safety is all about, is ensuring that when we do release people, that we've done our very best to give them the skills they need to be successful. So there will be a bill that addresses reentry by requiring that the Department of Corrections do reentry training for the last 6 months of anyone's sentence. We also have a bill that would require that there be oversight for the Department of Corrections. If you're like me, those walls around prisons are very high, and I can drive by most of the time without thinking about what's behind them. And that's unfortunate, because any kind of darkness is not healthy for finding the truth. And to know exactly what is going on and how well something is managed, we need to have outside eyes on it. So there's an ombuds bill that will be introduced as well. And another bill is a little niche bill, which is a bill to rescind felony murder. And that term is very confusing, because it sounds like felony murder would be the worst kind of murder possible.
Right.
But in fact, it's not murder at all. It's a much misnomer. If you are committing a felony crime and someone dies, even if you don't kill them, you can get a life sentence. The unfortunate thing is in the state of Maine, not only do people get life sentences even though they haven't murdered anyone, they also have disproportionate sentencing. Mm-hmm. So if you're a person of color, you are much more likely to get a long sentence for felony murder than if you're not a person of color. And we would like to see the whole idea of giving someone a life sentence when they didn't actually kill anyone seems anathema to our justice system. Mm-hmm. So we'd like to see that rescinded. There are plenty of reasons for convicting them of the crime that they did commit. You know, if they're doing a robbery, they shouldn't be convicted of that. But if they didn't actually kill anyone, they should not get a life sentence. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in supporting justice in Maine, and we hope you are, there are lots of ways to get involved. You can subscribe to the Maine Prisoner Advocacy Coalition Google group, which is listserv, and would post when these bills are coming up and what kinds of testimony would be effective. You can also subscribe to any committee in the Maine legislature by going to legislature.maine.gov, clicking on committees and going to the committee of choice. And for justice issues, the Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee is a good one to subscribe to, and also the Judiciary Committee. And it's pretty easy. Once you go to the committee, up in the right-hand corner, it says mailing list, and you can subscribe there.
Excellent. Thank you so much for outlining those bills and where we can go to find out some more information. And I also wonder if there are things that we can do, like write to our legislature. How do we testify? Can we do that and go in person? Can we do that over Zoom or write it down? How do we go about making our voices heard?
Thanks for that question. So the legislature makes it easy for us to testify. You can do that by submitting written testimony, and that can be done via the internet. There is a portal at each of the committees for submitting testimony. You can also go in person. They do limit the length of testimony in committee to 3 minutes. You can do a written testimony, which can be as long as you want it to be, and also do an oral testimony in front of the committee. And if you can't make it into the committee, you can still sign up to present your testimony by Zoom. And all of those are available through each of the committee portals.
Oh, that's pretty clear. And it sounds pretty easy, but it just takes people to do the next step, right? To investigate, get online and see what's happening in the state so that you can get involved and become aware. You know, one of the things that you said, which is a really frightening part of the state of Maine, is it depends on your ethnicity and your background and your race as to what kind of sentence you're going to get. And most people may not realize that Maine has the sixth highest racial disparity in who we incarcerate in this state. And keep in mind, we have like a 98% white state. So there's something really wrong with what's happening there. And I encourage everybody to do your own research, get online, check out this Maine.gov website, get into these committees and see, you know, what moves you for legislation and become an active citizen. So Jan, we have a few minutes left and I'm wondering, is there something that you would like to tell our listeners? You work with a lot of justice impacted people, and most people, all they know about folks who've been in jail or prison is what they see on television. So can you share a little bit maybe about your personal experience and what you want our listeners to know about people who have been incarcerated?
I would like you to visit, anybody who's listening to this, I would love to have you visit your local prison or jail. They're always looking for volunteers, or most places are looking for volunteers. Volunteering can be as simple as presenting an art class on a regular basis, being part of an AA group or an NA group that's inside the jail or prison. There are all kinds of opportunities for volunteering, and we would love to see more people participate, because the more you know, the less frightening jail and prison is. I had an intern from Colby College come in to do art classes at Maine State Prison with me. And after our first session doing art, we debriefed outside, and she said that the experience had changed her life. And I think that's true of almost anybody who goes inside jail or prison. Changed her life, that she found the people that she worked with to be the most polite people she had ever met, and were much nicer than some of the guys that she went to school with at Colby College. And that's not a diss on Colby College. She loves Colby College too. But it's just the reality that, you know, no matter where you are, there are nice people and not so nice people, but the people who showed up for the art class were very, very nice. So I would encourage other people to break through those stereotypes by visiting or participating in their local jail or prison.
Oh, that's a great idea. Nothing like getting a little face to face and getting to know the human beings, right, who are in there, and thinking about the children and the parents of those people who are incarcerated. So thank you very much, Dan. I think our listeners learned a great deal about the legislative process and how to get involved, which is such a good thing. And we appreciate you sharing your insight about what's happening inside Maine's prisons and jails and how to become an informed citizen and be part of our legislative process. So listeners, we have some exciting new shows coming up on Justice Radio, exploring criminal legal issues and processes in Maine, like what's it like to be arrested or arraigned or go through the court system? What does it mean to plea bargain or go to trial? And how do our sentencing laws impact the lives of Mainers, and so much more? So please visit Justice Radio show page on WMPG.org for our archived episodes aired on WMPG, WERU, and WMHV. And a big thank you to Samuel James for his gift of music that opens and closes each episode in our series. Thank you.
Thanks, Linda.